Hello and welcome to the Mountain Brook Baptist Project 119 Bible Reading Plan Podcast. I'm Mary and it's my pleasure to join you in reading God's Word. Today is Saturday, April 23rd, and I'm reading from the New International Version. I'm still recording at home, so my sound is going to be a little different, and you may hear some ambient sounds like the pitter-patter of feet or a car racing down the road a little too fast. We're beginning in Exodus chapter 25, and I'll be reading verses 1 through 22. This is about the tabernacle. So God is asking the Israelites to bring offerings, and then what they bring will then be used to set up a sanctuary for God's presence. The Lord said to Moses, "Tell the Israelites to bring me an offering. You are to receive the offering for me from everyone whose heart prompts them to give. These are the offerings you are to receive from them: gold, silver and bronze, blue, purple, and scarlet yarn, and fine linen, goat hair, ram skin dyed red, and another type of durable leather, acacia wood, olive oil for the light, spices for the anointing oil and for the fragrant incense, and onyx stones and other gems to be mounted on the ephod and breastpiece. Then have them make a sanctuary for me, and I will dwell among them. Make this tabernacle and all its furnishings exactly like the pattern I will show you." Have them make an ark of acacia wood, 2.5 cubits long, 1.5 cubits wide, and 1.5 cubits high. Overlay it with pure gold, both inside and out, and make a gold molding around it. Cast 4 gold rings for it and fasten them to its 4 feet, with 2 rings on one side and 2 rings on the other. Then make poles of acacia wood and overlay them with gold. Insert the poles into the rings on the sides of the ark to carry it. The poles are to remain in the rings of this ark. They are not to be removed. Then put in the ark the tablets of the covenant law, which I will give you. Make an atonement cover of pure gold, 2.5 cubits long and 1.5 cubits wide, and make 2 cherubim out of hammered gold at the ends of the cover. Make 1 cherub on one end and a 2nd cherub on the other. Make the cherubim of 1 piece with the cover at the 2 ends. The cherubim are to have their wings spread upward, overshadowing the cover with them. The cherubim are to face each other, looking toward the cover. Place the cover on top of the ark and put in the ark the tablets of the covenant law that I will give you. There, above the cover between the 2 cherubim that are over the ark of the covenant law, I will meet with you and give you all my commands for the Israelites. Before we move on, I just want to clarify. They're talking about the Ark of the Covenant here. And when I think of Ark, I think of a boat, Noah's Ark. But this is a different word in Hebrew. This word in Hebrew actually means kind of like a storage container or a vessel in which you'll put items. And so we'll find out that the tablets of the Ten Commandments will be put in this Ark, and also a jar of manna. And I think maybe one more thing, the budding rod of Aaron. I'm not sure. We'll find out along the way. But if you have a study Bible and you're a visual person like me, you might want to look, because in my study Bible, there is a picture of the Ark of the Covenant and these cherubim that have been described that are on top of the Ark. You notice that they talked about the poles that needed to be on the Ark. And this is important because eventually no one will be able to touch the Ark of the Covenant. And so they're going to need these poles to carry the Ark. And that becomes important in another story down the road in the scripture. Let's turn over to Psalm 119 now. Today we're reading verses 73 through 96. At the beginning of each section, you'll hear me say a Hebrew word. Yod will be the first one, Kaf and Lamed. These are alphabet letters in the Hebrew alphabet. And I don't think I've mentioned this time around that Psalm 119 is an acrostic poem. And this one is an interesting poem in that each of the eight lines in each stanza, so for example, starting with verse 73, each of the lines in the stanza begins with the letter Yod. Now, we can't see that in our English translation, but if you were to look at a Hebrew Bible, you could at least see that the letter that begins each stanza is the same. Your hands made me and formed me. Give me understanding to learn your commands. May those who fear you rejoice when they see me, for I have put my hope in your word. I know, Lord, that your laws are righteous, and that in faithfulness you have afflicted me. May your unfailing love be my comfort, according to your promise to your servant. Let your compassion come to me that I may live, for your law is my delight. May the arrogant be put to shame for wronging me without cause, but I meditate on your precepts. May those who fear you turn to me, those who understand your statutes. May I wholeheartedly follow your decrees that I may not be put to shame. Kaf. My soul faints with longing for your salvation, but I have put my hope in your word. My eyes fail, looking for your promise. I say, when will you comfort me? Though I am like a wineskin in the smoke, I do not forget your decrees. How long must your servant wait? When will you punish my persecutors? The arrogant dig pits to trap me, contrary to your law. All your commands are trustworthy. Help me, for I am being persecuted without cause. They almost wiped me from the earth, but I have not forsaken your precepts. In your unfailing love, preserve my life, that I may obey the statutes of your mouth. Lamed. Your word, Lord, is eternal. It stands firm in the heavens. Your faithfulness continues through all generations. You establish the earth and it endures. Your laws endure to this day, for all things serve you. If your law had not been my delight, I would have perished in my affliction. I would never forget your precepts, for by them you have preserved my life. Save me, for I am yours. I have sought out your precepts. The wicked are waiting to destroy me, but I will ponder your statutes. To all perfection I see a limit, but your commands are boundless. In this section, I see kind of a turn. Verses 77 and 78, let your compassion come to me that I may live, for your law is my delight. And then it seems like something is happening. May the arrogant be put to shame for wronging me without cause. And then in the next section, there is this doubt in the soul. My soul faints with longing for your salvation. It's this, where are you, God? Verse 83 is a really strong metaphor. Though I am like a wineskin in the smoke, I do not forget your decrees. A wineskin is made for moisture, and the smoke dries it out and shrivels it out. And so the psalmist is saying, though life has caused me pain and shriveling me up, in essence, I will stay committed to your decrees because I know that ultimately, and this psalm preaches that ultimately, the word of God brings life. It reminds me of Wayne's sermon on Good Friday. If you can go back to the Mountain Brook Baptist podcast, I think it's out there. This is just a great sermon that reminds us that God knows our pain. And even sometimes when it feels as if the tornado has come to our house, that's the metaphor he uses. even in those moments, we can be assured that God knows our suffering, because in Jesus, our Lord, He experienced the same suffering, this same apparent forsakenness on the cross. But we know that God did not hide His face from Jesus, and He does not hide His face from us. Yet it is still difficult, and the psalmist wrestles here with this idea of feeling forsaken. Okay, let's move on to Romans, and today we're in Romans chapter 12, verses 9 through the end of the chapter, verse 21. The title in my Bible says Love in Action, and this is a rapid-fire series of commands where Paul urges the believers to demonstrate sincere love for one another. And so I just encourage you to take one of these many commands today and ask the Lord to help you to develop in you His character. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor, serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with the Lord's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my dear friends, but leave room for God's wrath, for it is written, "It is mine to avenge, I will repay," says the Lord. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Thank you for listening along on this happy Saturday. I hope it is a glorious day for you, and I just pray that the Lord would bless you as you seek to follow Him. Will you pray with me? Lord, would you bless my brothers and sisters today? I pray that you would just be with them, give them an extra special sense of your presence and your goodness. We do pray for those in our fellowship who are sick and in need. We ask, Lord, for your hand to touch them. We pray for doctors and nurses and those who are healthcare professionals, that you would give them compassion and wisdom. We pray, Lord, for our church as we prepare today for worship tomorrow. Help us as families to make those preparations so that we can be ready to corporately worship you. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Help us to delight in it. Help us to have a heart ready to serve you. We pray all of this in Christ's name. Amen.